We're just waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting.
What are we waiting for?
And
what are we waiting for?
We are live.
Yeah.
Been live for a while.
We are live. Fantastic. Well, you get the notice. I didn't. Welcome to another episode of Off the Rail. I'm your host. You know me. I'm Tom. I've got two co-hosts. We're the Triple Clown, so you know. There's got to be three of us. I've got the Truck Stop Burrito, Mr. AJ Ryder. And away they Joe. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Yeah.
What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, I'm ready for this this tragedy of a pick five that I'm gonna do.
Dude, don't worry. I don't think anyone's done as bad as me in the last couple weeks. So
There's a very low bar. Well, no, I mean, this was pretty bad. Last week, I tried to play it on a Tuesday, and I played the pick five, and there was like a 7-horse field, and I picked five of them, and of course, I didn't win.
Well, don't
they didn't win that. The first
well,
hey, leg.
You know what?
Don't this, put that out there now, Joe.
Let's put some confidence. Let's put some confidence in our.
I know.
All of our
I
folks watching.
We just lost our only viewer because Joe said he missed the five out of seven.
My guy Toast Man, hey, I told you we're gonna give a shout out to shout out to Villanova, Big Five school. Now we're gonna do the big pick five at Parks. So let's see, what do we races 7 through 11. AJ, why don't you do your best at introducing this race?
Well, first and foremost, Villanova being a Big Five school. I don't know what that means. Are they from a power five? Yeah, they are.
If you listen to our broadcast that you've been on, AJ, the Big Five, the Philly Big Five, the Pick Five that we've covered multiple times is named after the five Philadelphia area schools. Which are Temple, Villanova.
Did you say that? Because that makes sense, though. I've never listened to that. Okay.
That's it. But so thank you for listening.
I learned something new today. Because I did. I mean, if you said that before, obviously I wasn't paying attention. And
I'm not in just to get the positive vibes going, Joe.
Yeah.
Mr. Randy did hit that pick six at shot 10.
Randy?
So, or should he say Sarah? Anyway, let's go. Let's talk about race 7.
No, one of them.
Oh my God, you two guys, race 7. We're going 7 furlongs, right?
Well, I feel like there's a lot more to unpack here, but let's move on. Okay,
Nova Temple.
All right, so race 7, the first leg of the Philly Big Five. It is on the dirt, 7 furlongs, 3-year-olds and up. It is a 12K. claiming race, and I do believe, Tom, you said to start us off, so take it away.
Yes, I did. See a couple of prices in the sequence. This first race, not so much. I like the 4 16 tons. Who doesn't love an 11-year-old gelding that runs at Parks? I mean, at a Bodemeister, another positive. A freaking nice long layoff. Last time he ran was October 25th at Finger Lakes. He's run all over the New York circuit, Belmont, Aqueduct. Linda Rice has been known to have a couple winners. I also like the 5, Extreme Force. Last year at this time, this horse was running at Churchill, Belmont, summered at Saratoga, won easy the last time out. I have the just going late here of the 4 and 5 to start off race 7.
Real quick, how old did you say the 4 was?
The 4 is actually
years old.
The 4 is actually 5 years old.
11 starts.
11 yeah. starts. Thank you.
Okay.
You can read my handwriting.
So, is the five 20 years old because he had 20 starts?
Yeah. 20 years old, still running. It's an unbelievable story.
It's going to be one of those shows.
He could go around again.
well, I'll go I love that I didn't take any of your horses. And because normally I feel like we're on the same page a lot, but not this time. I'm going with the 8, Don't Recall, who was running some really good efforts at this 12K claiming level not that long ago at the end of last year. They brought him out for a starter allowance. Obviously, that didn't work out. So let's go back down to where this horse was competitive. I love the horse going into more of a class that obviously it's able to win at. $175,000 this horse was bought at, and it's running in a 12K claimer at Parks. I'll take a shot. Why not? The 1, Pylon. Now, they tried him in an allowance level last time out. Did not work out. But if you look at the last few efforts at the 12K claiming level before he was claimed, this horse was very competitive, put up pretty good numbers, including at the starter allowance level as well. The 2, Lazaretto. Has probably the most consistently good numbers out of this whole field. When I look back at some of the races it's ran, I can see high 80s, high 70s. I think this horse is just consistent. I think it shows up. I think it runs its best effort. 6-1, considering I don't like a whole lot here. I think this horse to me stands out a lot as this 4-year-old, I think, is maybe going to get its 3rd career win.
All right. 1, 2, and 8 for AJ.
Yep.
All right, Joe. Why don't you take us through your picks here for race 7?
I went 4 deep. So number 4, 60 Tuds, I like too because the last 2 runs on the claiming about the same level at Finger Lakes was the dominated both times. So that you have to include that one. 5 as well, same one at Parks by 5 lengths as the speed. So had to take that one. So the 2 that, well, hopefully he's not going to be a pylon in the race is Pylon. He's going to be in the front and he's drawn well. I think he could throw out that last race because it was a harder company allowance. So he goes back down to the same company that he was in the claiming races. But he did have a second in Parks. If you go back a little bit, was second by a nose at 8-1. So I wanted to throw that in there. Plus you get the weight allowance because you do have a apprentice on. So he's only going to carry 116 pounds. Now, one oddball one that I threw in there was the number 7 Grazer because, you look back at all of his races, they have been pretty poor, but I think he's getting into form now because the last 2, he was in the 12K claiming and was only 6 lengths off the leader. Then he was favorite in the last race, but lost by a neck at a lower level claiming. You go back to his claiming win back at Gulfstream, at April of last year, won by two lengths. So I think that now he's got a little bit more familiar with Parks at the harder level. Now he's going to go back down to a little bit easier, especially after getting a third by a neck in the last race at 7,500. So out of all the other like long shots, I would include that one. Plus he'll probably be like on a stocking trip. So 1, 4, 5, and 7 for me.
Can I ask you real fast, because I'm interested, mm-hmm. the fact that, okay, so you're basing the performance a lot off of the last race out, and now we got a trainer change. Does that concern you at all, or is that something you should look past, especially because he's going to I'd say a fairly well-known trainer up in the Northeast?
No, I think that he could come back and go back to, or well, he could try to win last time out. They have to think that if he's going to go into the 12K claiming, they have to think that he has a chance to win, especially right. Since the last time he almost won. So that was at a mile and a 70 yards. Right. So he's been bouncing off like different distances. And that's another thing. They're trying him in all different distances, but his maiden win in Tampa was at 7 furlong. So I don't think the distance or the trainer concerns me. His performances look really good. So the last two runs.
Cool. Always bringing a unique angle, Joe. Love it.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's horse racing.
Yeah. Anything can win. And then, and when we go to the next race, I'll yeah, you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I do see it with your next race. AJ, why don't you tell us about what we have here at Race 8?
Well, let's kick off the second leg of this Big Philly Pick 5. It's a maiden special weight for $42,000. This one is restricted to just three-year-olds. We're still on the dirt, and we're going 7 furlongs. Last time, I believe it is my turn. And I'm just going to go in numerical order here. The 2, Irie Empress. 4 seconds in 5 starts. This horse is just chopping at the bit to win one of these races. I know they were a little bit lower class, but time for him actually rates 3 of those 4 seconds higher than the race that we're currently getting in this class here. So 5-1, I think is great odds for this horse. Going next, the 3, Surprisingly Sweet. I don't like a lot here, so I'm going with the 3. Rated for 90. Is sprints on the dirt by time form. Bennett hasn't run a lot here at Parks, so I don't know what he's capable here at Parks. You get a fairly decent jockey, someone who's coming in top 3 almost 30% of the time, so I'm okay with that. And then, of course, the 4, Memento Me, had the biggest jump in speed figure numbers between its first and second attempt. 22, going from a 44 to a 66. Get second by less than 2 lengths. Comes back now for its 3rd attempt here to try to break its maiden at this level. I think it looks like possibly could continue to improve. So I went 2-3-4.
All right, Joe, hopefully I think I know what you picked here, Joe. So I'm just going to sit back and listen.
I think it's 3-year-olds. You could make a case for all of them. Even the 6 went at 20-1. I took the whole field. I took all because I like the 3 as well. The first time starter. There's always a time where you don't pick that first time starter and it wins first out. Memento Me had a great, you know, he was second at 12-1, and was St. Martin Girl was also in that race and was also one of the odds there, 6-1 as well. Imaginism, second time, I think she's gonna get a little bit better fitness. Sometimes these second time maidens, they just turn up and win. They got their first run, and then now they're going to get their second run, and usually the fitness is there, and then they come back up. And Velasquez also has he's pretty hot right now in the last 20 to 36 days. So Peach Perfect going up a little bit because it is a 42K maiden, and the last two races were 34. But that was a 3-year-old and up race. So now he's going to face just 3-year-olds.
And that was also Pennsylvania bred.
Yeah, yeah. So there's Erie Princess is what AJ said, crying to get a second. Memento Me, that one. Smarty Pants Sandy looks like getting into form now with the last 3 races at Parks. It's really, I think it's wide open than it looks. I don't want to take a chance. So I have to go. I think a bomber could show up in this one. So that's why in the next couple legs, I'm going to go short. So yeah, all for me. I don't like picking all sometimes, but I think in this case,
you have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to. So wow, Joe with the big pocketbook going all. I do like the one that you had mentioned, Peach Perfect. Nice speed. I do like it going back at 7 furlongs. And one thing that you guys did not mention is with Frankie Pennington and John Service, that's a hell of a combination right there. Also like the added equipment on the one with the added blinkers. I did take that 5 as well. Smarty Pants Sandy out of Smarty Jones, of course. Like you said, Joe, my exact notes say just hitting form, just missed last time out, showing some nice works as well. And the 2, AJ, I believe you let off your sequence with the 2. Just looking at the last comp, the last 3 races, good finish for place. Out, good finish for second. Closed well. I mean, this horse is, like you said, chomping at the bit to get there. And she almost did it the last 3 times out. Since February 1, this horse is looking fantastic. So I have 1, 2, and 5 here.
All right. Well, then let's move on to the 3rd race of our sequence, race number 9. This is a starter allowance race for $34,000. It's for 3-year-olds and up. And 7 furlongs on the dirt. We've done this already, boys. Let's go. Tom, we're back to you.
Sure. Yeah, I can go. Or Joe can, but I'll go.
Yeah. This was Joe's race. Sorry.
I know. It's okay. Confusing.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You can go.
Well, I do like the 2. Spun de Deat. First off, the claim for Kirby. This horse has been everywhere. It's really fallen into that weird claim game. 5 trainers since October, but it doesn't matter. The horse is hitting its stride, hitting pace, doing what it needs to do. Looked great last time out here at Parks, finished 3rd. It's a decent horse. It's been running in just decent company, and just it's a good looking horse. So I have the 7 here, Owen's Pleasure. Our guy Ness doesn't have a lot of horses going tomorrow, but when he and Ruben get on board together, it's always a dangerous combination. Last time she ran 7, looked perfect down at Laurel. So I just I went 2-7 here.
We'll continue to order. Joe, you can start next time out. You're 50% right here, Tom. The 2 is head and shoulders above the rest of this field. And at 4-1, it's an absolute steal. Spun de Etat could walk this race, and I do believe it would still win. I've seen a bunch of this horse, because this horse ran up at Naira for most of, I don't know, the last year and a half, right? Got claimed left and right every single time it ran. I think there's not a trainer up in Naira that didn't want this horse at one point in time.
Right.
Has consistently ran really well against far better. I'm talking about like My Roxy Girl, Fair Regis, Big Al's Gal, who would destroy the field we are about to see her run against. This filly, I like her a lot. I liked her up in Naira, to be honest. She won back-to-back claimers up there, won me a lot of money. The really good New York
red Churchill too.
Yeah, the where she's ran and what she's done is just far and away better than any other horse in this race. This is my single. I went with the 2.
Wow, excellent. So I guess great minds think alike. Because that is also my single.
I think it's obvious, man.
Look at the Keeneland 2019. He was sold for $95,000. They're trying to make back that money.
Yep.
Yes. $173,000 is already made. So they already made that. This is going a little bit easier company compared to what he raced against or what she raced against last time. 4 years old too. She still has a bright future. Taking some weight off, 118. There, it's her race to lose. She could be on the speed. She could also win from off the pace. So she's a very versatile horse compared to the others. I'm really surprised that Owen's Pleasure is up there because went from a $65,000 claiming or starter allowance, but then before that, won by 12 lengths at a 15K. I don't think the value is there. The value is more on Spun to Tie, and I think that if probably if the tote sees it, they're gonna probably. I think she's probably gonna be the favorite, and probably everybody's single. So yeah,
they will be
Spun to Tie. Yeah,
especially after you guys both singled it, and I put it on my ticket. Odds are gonna go. Yeah.
I should have said somebody else.
No, that's great that you guys both singled it. That's
yeah, because got to keep the ticket cheaper. So I think the first two aren't as straightforward as the last three races.
Ooh. Understood.
Last three. So that brings us then to race 10. The 4-year-old and older allowance race for $48,000. We're going to cut back a furlong and go 6 furlongs this time on the dirt. Joe, this time you have to kick us off.
Yeah, I went 2-3. Hey, Mama Luke. Just the last two races have been really good. And you do get a 119 compared to the 121. And that 2 pounds can make a difference in the end. So, hey, Mama Luke. Really good time form figures. Every time, the last one at 13-1, one at 5-1. So now is going to be one of the favorites. They're hoping that she is going to show up. 6-year-old mare won 479,000 in 24 starts. That's actually really good. Then you go to Bold Connection. So Kentucky Bred went down. Was in a grade 3 last time at 30-1. I think you could throw out this race because he's going to go back to the starter allowance or the allowance company again. Won 3 times in a row. So Mom, or won 2 times in a row as a maiden. And it's really, sometimes it's hard to win, right? Going from a maiden to an allowance. But she showed that. 4-year-old filly. I think she could sneak in as well. So I went with the 2, Hey Mama Luke, and 3, Bold Confection. Sorry. Did I say Bold Connection? Bold Confection.
Confection. That's okay, because I didn't catch that. And that's actually, the 3 was my last cut of my ticket. I do really like that 3. Throughout that last race at Laurel, it was like a black type stakes. But anyway, let's figure out who I did like. The most intriguing horse in the sequence is in this race, and that is the 1. Labanon a Prayer. After a 249-day layoff, winning for fun at Delaware Park on July 24th, kicked back and not really done much. What intrigues me about this is horse, Joe, you mentioned earlier, Velasquez. Velasquez is hot. He doesn't own many. He's the owner trainer here. Makes me think that there's something, he knows something that we don't know. And at 6-1, I will take that.
Sorry to interrupt you, Tom, real quick. What's the track conditions?
It's not raining. That's all I know.
Okay. Cause I'm sure, you know, cause the Lau bands are really good on the wet track.
Well, this one,
that's
not,
why I thought this one's not it. Though. Yeah. So that's why it was this interesting. Is, I was like,
it's all right.
No, this one is not. No, we had a couple snow showers yesterday, but nothing too crazy.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to anyway. That's, I feel like I'm, I've got AJ times 2 I'm working with tonight.
It's fine.
I have the,
makes the show better.
I do also do like the Hey Mama Luke. 2 for 2 under the new trainer. This horse, I mean, if Mama Luke gets out there out front, which I believe she will, she could just take the whole thing. I mean, we're only going 6 furlongs. Andy Hernandez is that fantastic apprentice jockey that we've talked about a number of times. And he is just having a great meat, getting ready to get rid of that bug. So I went 1-2.
All right. Well, you're both right in a sense. All right. So, Tom, I'm going to carry off of the 1. Now, the 1 to me at 6-1, especially off this layoff, the 4-year-old, I absolutely love if I can get 6-1 here on this horse, because I've seen this horse before. Obviously, I'm a big Naira guy. We're talking about races against Shaker Shack, Search Results. This horse beat Chasing Kara, who is a 2-time allowance winner. It up at Naira and Belmont, and just mm-hmm. recently at Aqueduct. And you're going to give me 6-1 on this horse. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Horse is running stakes races.
This horse is done. This horse has ran against a lot better than I think. Well, I want to say that it's here, but is has run against some pretty stiff competition her whole life. Search
out of the last seven races have been stakes.
Yeah. So to me, 6-1 is an absolute give me here. Like, just yes, please, 100%. But I do get what your guys are going with the other two, and that's the 2 and the 3. Now, the 3, which no one has mentioned, is undefeated at Parks.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So, if you're going to tell me that this horse has ran 3 races at Parks and has won all 3 of them, and all 3 career start or wins are at Parks, yeah, I'm not leaving that horse off the ticket.
That's right.
I'd be insane.
Convincingly, too. Yeah. A length and a quarter, yeah. Length and a third, true. And a 6th length.
And then, hey, let's look at the 2. The 2 has had 17 career runs at Parks, has 8 wins, including its maiden, and 3 seconds, including the stakes win here at Parks. 1, 2, 3, that's all I need. I don't care about anybody else. That's it. 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Got 2 horses for the course, and one of the longer shots, who I do believe is running its first race as a 4-year-old after the long layoff, who has already proven
primed.
To me that this horse could win.
Prime.
Oh, yeah. That's all I need on my ticket. I don't need anybody
else. The most intriguing horse. It's the most intriguing horse on the sequence.
If your number in this race is 4 or up, I could care less about you.
There is one that kind of scares me and that I left off, and that is Glory Dia the 6. If you take a look at it, a little bit.
So Glory Dia did beat Hey
Marmaluke.
Beat the 2.
Back in December.
2 times out before that. But I've also seen Glory Dia. What was the race? I had an argument against this. Mm-hmm. It was...
But Marmaluke beat Dia last time out.
The stakes race.
Because she does look like she's been improving quite a bit. I had a race where... Okay, so Glory Dia lost to Jakarta. I think Jakarta was my common denominator. And because I like Jakarta, because Jakarta has run up at New York once before too. Once lost to this horse it did leave halfway through, but it wasn't consistent enough, because when I see you lose by 17, I see you lose by 12, I see you lose by 7, then you win. I had a better argument for this when I was looking at this before, but well, I did. I swear. I don't remember what it was. Let's move on, because I don't remember. But you're right. Gloria.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, Mama
Luke.
Let's
talk about the horses we are going to play in race 11, guys.
Yeah.
Well, just real quick, does this touch back? Hey, Mama Luke is going to be the speed, and I think she could hold. I think she could hold it. Hold everybody.
Oh, that's what it was. When I looked at it before, when Glory Dia won, I don't think Marmaluke had. Go back. I think it was a faster pace. I think she's pressed, maybe. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Anyway,
well, let's.
Well, it's out there. It's out there.
Let's move on.
I don't remember what it was, but I had an argument before.
It's okay. So, yeah, that's why you have Twitter to remember everything. Just tweet it
someone,
out.
Someone can burn me on this later. So race 11.
Unless it wins.
Might be me.
Well, I didn't take the one. You guys did, and I didn't. So if the one wins, then I'm screwed.
Yeah. So let's hope it does, so I never have to remember what my initial argument against that horse was. So race 11, three-year-olds and up. This is a claimer for 7.5K. And we're going to go a little bit shorter. We're going 6.5 furlongs. We're still on the dirt. No turf races to worry about. How awesome is that?
Yeah, another couple months we'll be back on the green at Parks.
Exactly. And Joe went first this time. You went out of turn, so I'll go first this time. I have only one thing to say about this race. It's 5.79. There's no one else worth playing. I'll go into it, but I would imagine the 5.79 is on both of your all's tickets. A couple of them were. But I think there, when you look at numbers.
I remember.
I don't know. Back channel, I think if you wanted to single him, maybe go for it. I wouldn't blame you. Coming off two starter allowance races, one was a win. And he's got the 25K starter allowance win at 7. And then they bumped him up, got, lost by 3 lengths and got 5th. And then they dropped him down to a 7.5K. Either something's like amiss here where he's hurt and they're trying to get rid of him, or it's just he's going to be much the best like he was the last time he played or ran in a 7.5 claimer where he won by 10 lengths. I mean, after him, I'm just looking for a price, and the price is going to come off maybe the lead with the 6 pressing the 9, maybe the 5 is up close enough where maybe he can make a move. Numbers alone, I'm sorry. I'm just it's 5.79 all day. The 7 I'm throwing in there for a price because has run some decent numbers before and maybe in the Kentucky circuit and maybe can repeat those. But realistically, I think there's 3 horses in this race to bet, and that's it.
And that's the 5. You've got 5.7 and
5.79. Right? It's just because everyone else is terrible.
Well, it's Parks. Wow. Anything could win at Parks.
Put some confidence behind yourself, young man. All right, Joe. Let's finish it out on a strong note. You gotta have more confidence, Joe. You're.
Who do you have? I'm actually really confident in the 5, Shirley Green. That's why I made it. That's where I was saying. I think it's pretty straightforward after the first 2 races. I think those first 2 races are a nightmare. When you get to these, it's a little bit easier. And AJ actually touched on it. So when you look back, he ran in a starter allowance, ran in a claiming, mm-hmm. ran 1.5 length, then won its claiming race at 6 lengths, then got claimed. First off, the claim wins. Puts him up in another starter allowance. I think that they thought that was a bit tough, but that was off of a layoff. Now he's on another 29-day layoff. I think the fitness is there, especially when you look at the works. 49, 50, 50, 6.5. I think she'll be able to manage the distance. 9 starts, 3 wins. It's not bad.
33%. Let's go.
Yeah. Going back, I mean, you look at the same horses, back channel is the same thing. Starter allowance goes up to that. I think what they were trying to do is put it in a tough race so that way it gets the run, puts it back down. They're going to try to make their money back. So Shirley Green, I really, really like it, especially in an 11-horse field. I think she'll pick up the pieces off the pace because you do see like back channel speed. I'm a unicorn speed. I think they're going to duel it out. I think it's going to set the way for all the rest. I think he's going to come over the top, or she's going to come over the top. So, yeah, I like Shirley Green in the end. So that makes the ticket that I have about $32.
Not too bad, Joe. Like it. And, yeah, that's
– with an all, by the way.
Yeah, with an all.
Yeah.
That 5 is an interesting horse. Another horse that got caught up in the claiming game, ran for Ness for a couple times, won both times. Now – so I had 2 trainers since then, or 1 trainer since then, with Ruben out of the irons. I don't know. Well, let's talk about who I did bet. Nothing that you guys mentioned. I do like the 9. Back Channel. Really good speed horse here with JT Service. JT Service, I think, has this horse primed to hit the board. I also do like the 6. Both of you guys mentioned the 6. I'm a unicorn. I think it is going to – I'm a unicorn. She is going to hit out front. The big thing with her is if she loses the lead, she's not coming back. This horse needs to, I think, wire the field to win, and I think she could at 6.5. And finally, Keith knows. I know this one too.
Yeah, the 11.
Yep. Yeah, Turpie. Man, showing really, really good form. Hit the board, as Keith mentioned, last 3 starts. Mike Moore, the trainer, has placed his horse in a pretty good position here. This one is not my favorite race. This is my dartboard race. So I went 6, 9, and 11 to close out my Philly Big 5 pick 5.
Well, to Keith's point, like, that 11 is something I'm going to play underneath, but I've played anything else. Yeah. We're just talking about the pick 5. And if I can't bet everyone unless I'm Joe and I have $1 million to play all.
Boy, I have a $32 ticket. That's actually not bad.
That's pretty good for having all. But
two singles, that's big balls.
But no, because, I mean, like, if I lost the 5, 7, or 9, he's right. The 11 was like we say a lot, the last cut. And, if I lose some horses elsewhere and I feel like I want to go deeper here in the last race because I could be alive, then the 11 was I took a good hard look at. But I felt like 5, 7, 9 was better.
Well, you know, yeah. The interesting thing about the 9, out of Liam's map, I think Liam's map's more of a turf pedigree. And we saw it when you go back and look a little bit. Yeah. But the thing that stands out to me is $400,000 Keeneland sale.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really, really interesting thing when you look at pedigree and all that stuff.
How often do you see that in the last leg of a pick 5 at Parks?
Yeah, at Parks. $400,000 horse at Parks.
And that's
I'm sure there has been other. I'm sure
there has been, but it doesn't happen a whole lot because we've done these Parks, these Philly Big 5s, and it doesn't happen a whole lot.
No. But you do get the weight break. 116 pounds. Shirley Green's carrying 123. You get that allowance. You get that weight allowance. And you know, every they say like a certain. I think it's like 6 pounds is a length. So
that's right.
Yeah. So if she could or if he could hold on or whatever could hold on, then she can. It's just I think she's. She's one on the dirt. It's just like I look at the turf and it's kind of like I think they wanted more dirt out of her than the
well,
turf.
I mean, it's
or they like tried her on the turf because of that pedigree.
And it's not like the pace doesn't set up for the 11 at all either. I mean, you've got someone who might go out there and challenge at 9 and the 6. A couple others that maybe could. And let's give a plotter a shot here at 5-1. Why not?
Oh, I get Postman it. Philly has a good question. Yeah, do you guys stay on a budget? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And Joe hit the nail on the head. I mean, yeah, he did it all, but he also singled. So I guess, yeah. And you know, Toastman, I mean, you got to pick it all depends on the day. It all depends on the sequence. So I've done a couple singles, but with my pick 4s and pick 5s to keep on budget, especially, if I'm not hitting the board, but it all depends on the sequence. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. If I don't believe someone's going to win, then I'm not going to, you know, if I say I've got 2 low priced horses and I really believe in this 20-1 shot, I really believe in the 21 shot. I got to figure out a way to make him a part of my budget. You know what I mean? And obviously, this sequence, I love that too. A Spun Day Etat. So now it's like, oh, well, I can go deeper. And
you go
I think
on other legs, right?
Well, and the way I look at it is I like to look at all five races before I pick anybody. I look at all five races and decide, is there someone who I am just absolutely sure is going to win this race? And I did that on this one where I thought the two's my guy. Like, so the two's my single. Now I know how to build my ticket around that two. And that's the way I do it, because if I don't have a single, then I know I might have to cut some horses later if they don't scratch, or if, you know, depending on
right
how the day plays out. But I like to find my single first. If it's there, if it's not there, then I got to figure out a different way to build it. That's
yeah, perfect thing. Sense.
As they say internationally, instead of the single, they call it the anchor, because it's the one that's anchoring your ticket.
Right.
I like so that. That.
Finding the single yeah. is the anchor.
I really like that.
Yeah. I mean, do you, Tom, have a certain strategy?
It all depends on the sequence. And I build a big ticket. I look at everything. I build a big ticket, and then I cut. I find reasons why I don't like horses. I'll always say, this was my last cut. I had this on my ticket just to make it more. And then it's like, you know what? And I'll look at a race and be like, oh, I did like both of your guys too a lot, but that seven, I'm like, you know, I wanted to cover my bases. It was that what Owen's Pleasure, I think the seven in that same race that I added last. I'm like, I just my ticket, I think it's maybe $38, something like that. It's not too bad. And I'm like, I'll throw one more on there.
Well, I mean, like, and this is just my opinion for like me and this one, I found a single at 4-1. So
and you have to,
I have no problem like doing whatever I got to do elsewhere. And that's how I would do it. Like before I write down anything, I have to look at all five races and think, is there one horse I can just kind of, you know, put all the chips in one basket on, and then I know how deep I can go in other races. If there's a five horse race and I cannot get off of two horses, then I know I got two horses in this race I cannot get away from. What True. Else? Now, how do I go about building it from there?
And as I'm, you know, everybody grows in as a handicapper and stuff. And as I'm growing, I'm getting a little bit more confident in myself. I think when I was younger, in doing it, I used to have freaking monster tickets. And it's just try to trim it down. It's all about having confidence in your bets as well. And confidence in your own handicapping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's for me, I look at the absolute nightmare races, because those are the ones that you're going to have to like try to either narrow down or just take them all. And I don't like really taking all the time, but in some cases you have to, because I don't want to be out, or you want to protect, like, let's say you single a 10-1, right? You want to protect that 10-1 on the next leg, because you single the next leg. And what if you lose in the next leg?
Those are the ones that hurt. Those are the ones that's the hurt ones.
Do you ever look at a pick five or something where you're like, well, if I miss the pick five, I go to the pick four?
Oh yeah, I always do the pick four, okay. Of shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, but I mean that pick four too could also pay quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It depending on what you've got. But.
Would
you ever single a horse in the first leg?
I have.
I think we all have. Depending on the day of the race, but what I'm saying is, do you look deeper in that first leg just to be alive for sure?
Oh, absolutely. No,
I find if I'm singling in the first leg, it's usually the first pick four of the day, or a pick three or something like that. I'll never.
What about the late pick five?
I have, but I will. I think more.
I, Yeah, I think we all have.
I'll do it more often on that first leg.
I get that. Yeah.
Especially like if it's like, especially if it's like whatever, a Saturday at Laurel or something like that. Mm. I have done that on occasion on pick fours for the most part.
Yeah. Tussman brings up a good point because sometimes you got to play those two tickets.
Well, he's got money. I've been to Delaware Park with him a couple times. I see what he throws around. He's got some dough. Tussman does. Hope to see you, man, in a couple, month and a half, buddy.
Just to touch on what AJ's, sometimes if it's an early pick five, so I like playing the early pick five at San Anita Aqueduct, but sometimes I will wait because you don't know how the track's playing. And if it's the very first leg, you want to see how the track's playing. Mm-hmm. And that's why sometimes I wait. I want to see what the late, and plus usually the earlies pick, they have a lot of money, but I think the later ones are even more money. And I don't like playing the first, like Aqueduct or whatever, the first, the pick four, the early pick four, the two through five or two. Yeah. Every time I seed it, it's always like not as good as payout as what you would get in a pick five, obviously.
So with the early pick four, I never played the early pick five. If I have a hunch based off of the prior day on how the track is played, I will play the pick four. Or I'll have a pick four set up based off of that, like early speed or the rail or whatever it may be. I'll have one set out for that. And if that first race disproves that, then I'm out. If it makes sense to what I was playing, then like I'll go for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of me, which is because it's hard from day to day. It changes quite a bit.
But
especially in New York, I mean, rain, snow, cold.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in Naira at Aqueduct, that track could be really tricky.
But any of the tracks that we cover on Off the Rail, that's 100% right. Because we don't have good weather at any of
them. Never.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get snow and rain tomorrow for sure. I would imagine everything's gonna be muddy tomorrow.
We almost had a hurricane last week at Fairgrounds.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's true, Keith. Cool. Well, guys, and hey, guys, we're everybody out there in the YouTube world. We just dropped our weekly show is going to get released probably in about 10 minutes or so. We covered all the Dubai races, the Louisiana Derby, the Louisiana Oaks. We played a little bit straight from the horse's mouth, which was one of my favorite ones that we've ever done where Randy and Sarah and I did some Kentucky Derby horses. It was a good one. We did Hot Jockey of the Week as well. And Joe, you just did an international show, correct? That got dropped this morning?
Yeah, I had Brittany Taylor on from Sky Racing and also Channel 10. Yeah, she was really, really fun to have on, talking a lot about the West Australia circuit and also Melbourne Cup Carnival and what she comes from a racing family. So it's really cool to hear her story. And it's funny because her brother is also a tipster. So they're both like in the media part of the horse racing industry and not what they were brought up with, you know, as a jockey or a trainer. So really interesting story. I highly suggest watching it because she was really cool.
It was a very good listen. And hopefully can't wait for your next episode. And I think we're doing another show on Thursday, probably be dropping out on Friday for all of the Derby prep races that are going on this week. So stay tuned for that. We're still got our greatest 64 American thoroughbreds of all time. We're dot and I's crossing T's, so watch out for that soon.
We are in the meat of some good stuff right now. So.
Yes, and we've got our Philly Big Five going on tomorrow. So hopefully one of us will get it. Or, you know, there's guys out there that will do monster tickets. They'll do some of AJ's picks, some of my picks, some of Joe's picks, but whatever.
Well, I will say this. I've hit twice now or two or three times now on the show. And I've never hit without somebody else on the show hitting. So.
Interesting.
Oh, so two people hit it at the same time?
Me and El Hombre, me and Tom. Yeah.
So I think all of us have similar picks towards the end. So I think we might all be able to hit it, yeah.
If hopefully we're all alive to the last leg, except for Tom. I don't think Tom picked any of our...
No, the first race,
so,
I think.
So me and Joe will be alive to the pick five. Tom will be alive to the pick four.
As long as that... hey, you know what? As long as one of us wins, that's all that counts. We are, you know... So everybody, appreciate you hanging out with us and listening to us ramble and listening to Joe and AJ just go after me. Really appreciate it, fellas.
Someone's got to do it.
I know. Yeah. I know. Everybody, we'll see you next Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock Joe time. See you guys.